in anything, I would think. Shraddha. Shraddha is the word for faith in Sanskrit. You know what Shraddha means? I mean, it's translated to faith, but actually what it really means in Sanskrit, you know? Closer to Radha? I never heard that. Okay. they said in the Bhakti Shastri course? Yeah, I mean, it sounds quite nice. actually, it means to give one's heart. Yes. Yeah, you knew that. Okay, yeah, to give one's heart. So we give our heart, like we invest, yeah, in something, because we have faith in that. Yeah, we think this sounds good. This sounds correct. So then we give our heart to that. And faith in the mode of goodness is described in the Bhagavad Gita. That's, I mean, one could say worship in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada explains in two ways. Either it's the worship of the demigods, or it is the worship of Vishnu. So he explains it in these different ways. To worship somebody in the mode of passion, that's like worshipping a demon, like Hitler, someone like that. And in the mode of ignorance, then you worship the ghosts and that kind of spirits. So we can see in the world that there are different kinds of religions, and they are actually into these categories. In Africa and South America, I suppose also in Asia, there is quite some worship of different ghosts. In the whole Western world, there is a lot of worship of pop stars and movie stars and what else? Politicians. So that's like a worship in the mode of passion. I remember when I was a teenager, I was not in Krishna consciousness then, but the expression of the soul to want to worship somebody is always there. Either we worship our dog or our rabbit or goldfish or, I mean, whoever, but this is always there, but it's misplaced. So it brings not such a good result. But I had all these pop stars, so I put on the wall. So the whole wall was filled with different kinds of famous people. and then after a while I took it away and I hopefully improved. But that's like when you don't have God or no knowledge of Him, then you will kind of worship somebody else. And what happens is, if you give your heart to the pop star or the demigod or or Hitler or whatever, then what happens is you take that person's qualities and you develop that person's qualities. So if we worship Krishna, who is, according to the Vedic scriptures, he's the Supreme Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we will also get Krishna's transcendental qualities. We will, develop these qualities. And then there is also different ways how to express one's faith according to these three modes, actually. So even a devotee of Krishna, he can be in the mode of ignorance worshipping Krishna, or in the mode of passion, or in the mode of goodness worshipping Krishna. It's described in the third chanto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So everything is very nicely kind of categorized and in detailed, studied in a very scientific ways by the different rishis. And Yeah, it's really nice that we have the right guidance. So the more we know this knowledge, then the more detailed information we can have. Because in the beginning, it can be like black and white. this is a devotee and this is a demon. So there is nothing in between. But that's when we don't have so much knowledge. But when we have more knowledge, then we can also see more and more differences and like that, which is helpful for our spiritual life. So I go through the purport. Those who know the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but out of laziness or indolence, give up following these rules and regulations, are governed by the modes of material nature. So Krishna, in the second chapter, he explains who we are and what we are. So we are an eternal living entity. So we are eternal, the soul. And it's described, the soul's size is very small. It's, you know, the tip of the hair, if you cut it in 10,000 pieces, so one of these 10,000 pieces, that's the soul. So, and the soul, he has, he can choose what he wants to do. He gets his free will. So those souls who choose to not worship Krishna in the spiritual world, they come to the material world, so they can have their so-called independent life. But in order to forget their relationship to Krishna, then they have to get a false identity. Because the true identity is the soul, but if you want to forget yourself, then you have to think that you're something else. And then you identify with a material body, which you get. And once you have a material body, the body will condition you so much that you have to act like that. So if you have a body of a dog, you have to act like a dog. Even if your consciousness would be like a liberated soul, you will anyway have to act like that. Like there was one in the Bhagavatam, there was this Maharaj Bharata. He was on his way back home, back to Godhead. He was really advanced in spiritual life. He obtained the platform of Bhava, which is really very elevated. But then what happened was, because he previously was a king, a kshatriya. And the nature of the kshatriya is to protect, give protection. So one time there was a hunter. He was hunting a deer. And he killed the deer. And in the same time as this deer was killed, she gave birth to a baby deer. And then because he was a kshatriya, then of course this came out from him, yeah? I have to give protection to this poor little deer. But what happened was that he became attached, so much attached to that deer, so instead of giving the poesy to Krishna, he started to make poetic prayers to the deer. It was kind of, I don't remember the poesy, but it was really nice, something with the moon and this and that. And then one day this deer disappeared, and he was very worried, and he was looking everywhere for that deer, and he happened to fall down and die. It was like in the forest with some mountains and like that, and then he died. And while he was dying, he was thinking of the deer. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's in 8.4, let me see. We have to take some chapter 8, verse 4, I think it was number 4. That's not the one. Text number 6, chapter 8. Jang jang vapi smarang bhavam tyayati ante kalevaram tang tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharata, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death, so this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of his life. That will help one to be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental or spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. So Maharaj Bharata, when he had this dear body, he was remembering that what he was in his previous life. He remembered Krishna and everything. But because he had this body, he was like in a prison. So he had to act like that. He had to act like the deer. So in the same way, we have now different kinds of bodies here, female and male human bodies. And then we are kind of forced to act according to that. We have a specific mentality. We have a limited material intelligence. And then that's the instruments which we get in order to do our duties in this world. So that's what Prabhupada is saying in this purport of the today's verse. According to their previous activities in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, they acquire a nature which is of a specific quality. So the activities of previous life will decide if we will have a body in the mode of ignorance, passion, or goodness. So even the human bodies are in the mode of ignorance, passion, or goodness. But the animal life is in the mode of ignorance, demigods in the mode of goodness, and human beings in the mode of passion. But within the human beings, there are also these divisions, which one can see. So that's why it's very important to decide and to know what one should do and not do, because actually we are creating our next body. So whatever we do now, whatever we desire now, whatever attachments we have now, if we continue with that, then that is deciding what is our next body. And like Prabhupada said in this verse in chapter 8, that if we worship Krishna, we think of Krishna, then we will get a spiritual body in our next life. And that is very good. So what does it mean? What is the difference between spiritual body and material body, the main difference? The material body is temporary, yeah. And Hare Krishna. And yeah, there's a lot of suffering in material body also, Hare Krishna. But there's also a pleasure, material pleasure. What would you say? Yeah, that's a very good point, that the material body is influenced by the three modes, but the spiritual body is not under that influence. So why is it bad to be influenced by the three modes? Yeah, there's constant change going on, yeah? Yeah, that's also a very good point, that the material body is under these four changes, birth, death, old age, and disease. Excuse me? And what's good with the spiritual body? It's... Huh? It's eternal, yeah. And Satchitananda, it's full of bliss and full of knowledge. And the material body is just the contrary. It's full of suffering. It's not eternal. And it's not full of knowledge. We are in ignorance. Avidya. And avidya is actually the cause of our suffering. So whenever we are suffering, then we should know that. It's because of ignorance. Because I identify with this body or this mind or this material intelligence. So that's the whole cause. And the different processes of yoga, they can achieve something. Karma yoga can help us to stop doing sinful activities. This is karma yoga. That's the highest it can go. So we get the knowledge, we start doing pious activities, and we stop with sinful activities. But ignorance is still there. The avidya is still there. It's not removed from the heart. And then we have the jnana yoga. Jnana yoga, which it's a higher step, because it takes us to the platform of knowledge. But jnana yoga also doesn't take away the root, and the root is ignorance. Only bhakti yoga can take away avidya, which is the root of our suffering. And because bhakti yoga helps us to know who we are, helps us to understand that we're the spirit soul, and what is our name in the spiritual world, what is our identity in the spiritual world. And as soon as we know that, then there is no more identification with the body. The suffering can come in three ways: adibhautika, adiatmika, adidevika. So that's how the suffering comes. The suffering comes from other living entities. I mean, it could be the neighbor, could be the wife or the husband, could be the children, could be so many things, mosquitoes in the summertime, or what else, bacterias in the wintertime. And so that's suffering from other living entities. And there is the suffering which comes from the demigods, too much rain or too little rain, too much heat, too little heat. These tsunamis and... so many other things. So this natural catastrophe comes from the demigods, and that's also a cause of suffering. And the last one is the suffering which comes from our own body and mind. Did you ever suffer from your own mind? I never did. I'm just joking. So the mind can really... I mean, we're really living up here, yeah? In this mind, we see everything through that kind of mentality which we have. And with the bhakti yoga process, then we change our mentality. And when you change your perspective, then you will see a whole new world in front of you. And that's really exciting. So that's from the mind. From the body comes also different kinds of diseases. Or we hurt ourselves, or we have a car accident, or whatever. So we can choose to go on identifying with the body and choose to be so-called victims of the three kinds of sufferings which are presented to us, you know, like an offering to us. We can go on accepting that, or we can say, no, I don't want it anymore. I want a change in my life. And then we can become devotees of Krishna. And try to surrender. The more we surrender to Krishna, the more we can get out of this, all of this suffering, which is actually unnecessary. We don't need to suffer. I don't think God is that cruel that He created us just to make us suffer. Do you think so? So why do we accept this situation? Why? Why don't we make a change in our life and become really, really happy? So, yeah, because we don't know how. But we are lucky, we have Srila Prabhupada's books and everything is there, and we should just have to apply it, yeah? Like Prabhupada says, those who know the rules of and regulations of the scriptures, I mean, they can follow and they can become happy. But those who are lazy or indolent, they give up following these rules and regulations because they are governed by the modes of material nature. So we don't need to be governed by that. It's our choice. So what should we do? Well, we should try to lead a spiritual life. Start by chanting Hare Krishna, and we have some Bhagavad Gitas here. If you don't have at home, then even if you don't have so much money, you can give whatever you want, but take a Bhagavad Gita with you and start chanting. This is, you have the mantra here, it's for free. You can just memorize it. It's in the Bhagavad Gita also. Any one of you ever, you know, all of you, how to chant Hare Krishna mantra? Yes, no? Yeah? So I don't need to show? Okay, so we use it in the beads. You're all chanting, maybe? Yeah? Oh, that's great. You also? Oh, great. So I don't need to say. And you have Bhagavad Gita also? Yeah. Okay, so let's go on. Let's go on. Continue. Don't give up. Never give up. I mean, challenges will come. And actually in the Bhagavatam it says that Krishna is absolute. Absolute means that he's non-different from his name, his form, his pastimes. This is Krishna. This is Krishna speaking. So the literary incarnation. And we have him in the deity form, the Murti. And the challenges which come in our life, the test which comes, they are also Krishna. Because he is absolute, he is non-different. So that says in the Bhagavatam, and that's quite nice, because sometimes we want to make a difference. But once we have started to chant and want to become devotee, then we should know whatever challenge is there in our life, that's Krishna coming in that form. So we should embrace him in that form also, accept him in that form. I went through many, many challenges, and I'm still going through. But, it's nice also. Because that's how you advance in spiritual life. If everything is nice, then you tend to take it too easy. I don't know if anyone has questions or commentaries. Yes? Yeah, you change your destiny by chanting Hare Krishna. That's what your question?
Yes. Or?
Yeah. Yeah, once you chant Hare Krishna, you can say it one, just once, then all of it's burned all of your karma, which you cannot commit so much karma in this life. That much karma is burnt away. So everything changed. Yeah. What happens is, it depends also how serious you are. If you're really serious, I don't know did you ever experience that in a moment of inspiration, then you say to Krishna, my dear Lord, I surrender to you. Please take over my life and I really want to be your devotee. And whatever comes, give me courage to go through that. Have you experienced that moment? Yeah. So then you're finished. Your material life is finished. Yeah. At that moment, Krishna takes over your life. It's not more like the karma. Of course, the karma can be there, but he will only leave that karma which will help you to come to him. So sometimes I have seen in different devotees' life, bad karma stays, you know. They have to suffer, because if they don't suffer, then they will never understand that this world is bad, this situation is bad, so they have to suffer so much. So, and other devotees, they have to enjoy so much, because that will be helpful for them in their spiritual life, so that they can detach themselves or use everything in with whatever they get, the wealth and whatever they get in Krishna's service. So we should have faith that whatever is happening to us now, it's ultimately good for us. And also we have to elevate ourselves also from this mentality that I want to be happy. We want to please Krishna. So I like very much this story of the gopis, of Krishna sending somebody to take dust from the Brahmana's lotus feet because he had a headache. And he said, the only thing which will cure me is the dust from a Brahmana's lotus feet. So I don't remember, who was it that went to... Huh? No, first it was from the Brahmanas, yeah? I remember it was, they went to a Brahmanas and the Brahmanas said no. Huh? Yeah, first they went to the Brahmanas, yeah, and the Brahmanas said no, we don't want to give our dust because then we will go to hell. If we take, you know, it's like stepping on God's head with your feet. I mean, what an offense. I will go to hell. So that's a person who is thinking about his own happiness. And the gopis, they were also asked. So, and the gopis later on, they were asked. And they said, yeah, take immediately. Krishna has a headache. My God, this is horrible. Please take. So, and they were asked, well, aren't you afraid to go to hell? Yeah, we are prepared to go to hell, but Krishna's pleasure comes first. So that's the real change. That's when we know that now we are true devotee. But as long as we are searching for happiness, then we know that there is some work to be done. But in the same time, if this search of happiness is motivating us in our chanting of the rounds and like that, then that can be helpful. But we also have to come to a stage where we can take a lot of trouble in order to please Krishna, Guru and Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada is such a wonderful example of that. Going away to United States when he was 70 years and meet all this Western culture, from Vrindavan to the Western culture, and spread Krishna consciousness. And it was not easy. He met thousands and millions of challenges, but he still did it for us. And that's our debt which we have to him. I mean, at least that's what I feel. I have a debt to Srila Prabhupada. I have to please him somehow. Also by giving out Krishna consciousness some way or other to others. In that way we can try to pay back the debt. So that's the Gopi Bhava, yeah?
This search for happiness can be a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Actually, why we give up our duties is due to lust. And lust, Krishna says in the third chapter, that is the enemy of the living entity, is the killer of transcendental knowledge and like that. So it's a very subtle thing, this. Am I doing it for Krishna or am I doing it for myself? But if we are like honest to ourselves, we will know. But we shouldn't become like too depressed about it if we see all these faults in us. We should always be enthusiastic, because faith without enthusiasm is kind of, something is missing. Yes? Yes? It's also a plan to not make a plan. So we, I think what Prabhupada means is that our plan should be to really try to understand what Guru and Krishna wants with us. So in that way, and from that, once we know, if you get an instruction, like Srila Prabhupada got an instruction to distribute books, and preach in the English speaking countries, then he, on that he makes his plan, how to do it, when to go, where to go, how to speak, like that. So, but material plans for your own enjoyment, I think that's what he means. You should not make material plans for your own enjoyment, because then you will ruin your spiritual life, and then you will end up who knows in what body next life. Yeah. Okay. I think it's really late. I mean, this is, oh my God, I forgot to see. Thank you so much, everybody. And good luck with spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.